If you believe what God says, you are going to make your belief visible by acting on it.
For decades, Elizabeth Elliot has influenced many people. She shares with us what she's learned as a daughter, wife, mother, and missionary on this radio program, Gateway to Joy. Let's join Elizabeth now as she encourages us once again to live life to its fullest as disciples of Jesus Christ.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. I keep saying those same things to you every day, don't I? And I've had some letters from people saying, are those in the Bible? Well, yes, they are. And I've given the references several times. But almost everything that I say on this program has some basis in the Scripture. And I try to make sure that it does. Because what would be the point of my getting on the radio every day and just nattering away about Elizabeth Elliot opinions? I have no authority whatsoever except the authority of Scripture. And after all, I'm very far from being infallible. I need all the help I can get. Very often, even though I have been careful to give the scriptural basis, I get people writing in and telling me that they are Christians, but that they disagree with something that I've said that is straight from the Bible. So be careful. Listen and try to find the scriptural basis that I'm giving you. And if I have given an opinion which is not thoroughly grounded there, then of course you are perfectly free to discard it. You're free to discard it anyway, aren't you? I can't do anything about that. But I'm here to attempt to point all of us to Jesus Christ, to bring us back again and again to the good old simple truths, the message of the cross. And we've been talking about witnessing. My definition of witnessing is making the truth visible. And I think I've told this story at least once about that night when I was sitting in my little house with no walls in the eastern jungle of Ecuador in a place called Tiwano. I was living with the Auca Indians, and they had given me a house. My daughter and I lived in a little house with no walls and no floors and no furniture. And we had no source of light except the fire at night, except occasionally I would use a candle, but candles were very precious since they had to be carried in over the trail 3 days. So I was very stingy with my candles. And I was sitting one night contemplating just exactly what does it mean to be a witness. I'm a missionary. A missionary is supposed to be a witness, witnessing to the truth that the missionary knows and the people don't know. And I could not speak to these people at that point because I was ignorant of their language. Nobody from the outside had ever learned their language before. And here we were, Rachel Saint and my daughter and I, trying to learn the language. It goes without saying that my daughter, because she was only 3 years old, learned it with lightning speed. But when a woman has to keep her mouth shut for a whole year, it's tough. And I was sitting there in my hammock. Everybody else had gone to sleep. I was staring into the fire thinking, now, Lord, what does it mean to be a witness to these people? And I opened my Bible and came upon a verse that I had never seen before. Isaiah 43, verse 10, you are my witnesses and my servant whom I have chosen, that you might know and believe me and understand that I am he. And I thought how surprising that expression was. You are my witnesses, that you might know and believe me. If God had asked me to write a verse on witnessing, because I am not an inspired prophet, I probably would have said, you are my witnesses, that they might know and believe me. And there is that element in it too, eventually, isn't there? But a witness's primary responsibility is to know something that other people don't know. And so God was giving me a great word of comfort and reassurance in my being speechless, unable to talk to these people about the gospel during that first year. He was saying to me, this is your chance to be quiet and to know me, to be still and know that I am God. You cannot be a witness until you know me. Now, the Bible talks a lot about faith, but the Bible doesn't just talk about faith. It makes the truth vivid and visible in its characters. When you read the story of Abraham, for example, or Noah, or Daniel, or David, or Goliath, you're not reading about theory, you're reading vivid pictures of what people actually did and how they behaved. Take Noah, for example. God comes along and tells him that he wants him to build this huge boat of an unheard-of size and shape, and he was to build it on dry land where there wasn't the slightest chance of hauling it to any place where it would float. Can you imagine the neighbors? Poor old Noah, he's gone bonkers. The Bible says he built it reverently. He built it reverently. If Noah could build a boat reverently, is it possible to build a house reverently? Is it possible to clean a house reverently? Is it possible to clean a bathroom reverently? And the Bible says his action condemned the unbelief of the rest of the world. Of course, the rest of the world got drowned, all but Noah and his family. And their unbelief was condemned by the obedience of Noah. Now, that is what a faithful witness does. He makes the truth visible. We're not told that Noah said anything. We're just told three times that Noah did exactly what God said. When God said, build an ark, what did Noah do? Noah built an ark. That's what a faithful witness does. Abraham, the Bible says, was a man of faith. Now, what in the world does that mean? How do we know that he was a man of faith? Only because the Bible gives us that one simple statement? No. We are far more convinced that Abraham was a man of faith because of what he did. There's only one test of true faith. That test is obedience. If you believe what God says, you are going to make your belief visible by acting on it. You hear people say, oh, she's got so much faith. She's so religious. She's such a good person. I wonder what they mean when they say that. People who talk about the Bible, people who talk about God, do they necessarily have faith? You know, the old spiritual that says everybody talking about heaven ain't going there. People who are religious, do they make their religious faith evident, manifest, visible in the way they live? The test is obedience. Now, Abraham was asked to do an impossible thing. He was asked to make a human sacrifice of his own son, his own beloved son, Isaac, the son of his old age, a miracle son, born when Abraham was way past the years of his virility and when Sarah was long past the years of childbearing. And here was God asking him to put that child on an altar and burn him up. I try to picture in my imagination the silent journey. The old man, the donkey with the wood, the 12-year-old boy, and two servants traveling up that mountain. And finally they dismiss the servants and they go on up to the top. And Abraham lays the wood on the altar. And then the boy's question. Isaac says, Dad, here are the fire and the wood. Where's the animal? And the father's answer, God will provide it. And then they went on in silence, the father in a desperate conflict of desire to be faithful to his father, his heavenly father, and a faithful father to his son. He wanted to be a faithful son to his heavenly father and a faithful father to his earthly son. I think there were throngs of angelic beings poised, attentive, leaning breathlessly over the stillness of the scene. And here's Isaac, helpless and incredulous, looking at Abraham, the angels waiting for the patriarch's decision. Was his faith going to be strong enough to slit that boy's throat? By obedience, will he witness to his belief? Or will he witness to unbelief by disobedience? The decision mattered to the man, it mattered to the boy, it mattered to God, it mattered to the cloud of witnesses, and it matters to you and me. Did Abraham know then how many people would know about this action of his? Every time you do what God says to do, or refuse to do what he forbids you to do, you witness to the truth. It's a risky business. But whatever happened to courage, manliness, simple willingness to stand in the face of all criticism and unpopularity? Jesus predicted to his disciples, you're going to be arrested, handed over to prison, brought before governors and kings for my sake, and you're going to be killed. And then he said, in the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Witnessing is making the truth visible.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Discipline, The Glad Surrender, and No Graven Image. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.